Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. It's a Cardinals off day. We're going to try to do this on a lot of Cardinals off days this year. Bring in our guy from the DGS, from Total Information PM, former host of Sports Open Line, our good friend Kevin Wheeler. Hey, Wheels.
Hi, Matt.
How are you? I'm good.
Oh, we said how are you at the same time. We're nerds.
We are. That's
We're
all right.
Twinsies.
I texted you last night because I saw the Pete Fairbanks audio cut where he talked about the level of suck. Because he's really struggling right now.
Pete is one of the most honest people that you'll ever run into, and specifically about his own performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what is it? Seven runs in seven innings that he's given up?
It's been pretty bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I actually heard him, it might have been a week or two ago. After one of his good outings, it was an afternoon game. I was listening to the game on the radio, and they finished it up, and he got the job done. And he was kind of equally funny there. He's like, "Yeah, I finally just did my job." You know, that kind of, sarcastic humor.
I like people like that because they, as a person asking questions, they hold you to a standard of basically not asking dumb questions.
For sure, but it's also like that. If you're thinking of it, like if you're a sports fan. And you just watched a guy stink. It really helps to hear them say what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Right? Like that brutal honesty about yourself is actually very good for the people that buy tickets and watch on television because they don't think you're in some delusional world where you're fine or you just missed on this. And by the way, sometimes you are that close to being right. And sometimes you did just miss. But that's not what people that are buying tickets are seeing. They're seeing, wow, you gave up six runs or you gave up three runs in the ninth and we lost. And they like to see, and this is partly why fans like football coaches, managers, whatever, that are emotional, that scream and yell and sometimes throw things or whatever, because that's what they're feeling. And they like seeing that the people they're watching feel the same way they do.
And I would also,
and I'm one of those two. I kind of like that. Not all the time and not for show. It's got to be real.
I like accountability. Like I want an athlete to say when they suck that they sucked. And I don't want to hear a guy who just had eight balls at 110 miles per hour talk about the soft contact and the shift and things like that, which there are guys who do that. And that's the last thing I want to hear.
Yeah. And we used to get BS'd on those things a lot more before StatCast.
Yeah.
Used to be like, he's hitting a lot of balls hard, and you'd have to take that note or you'd play the cut. And now you can go look that look at that very same night as it's happening and be like, yeah, that ball was 72 miles an hour off the bat. That's not very hard.
Yeah, Savant, well, I see a lot of red on the Savant page.
Hey, red is good, blue is bad. So when you're seeing blue, it depends.
If you're a pitcher,
red's
not good.
Red for the hitter when you're pitching is bad.
Bad. So. All right, so Cardinals just get done with a road trip. They go 3-3. They had a chance to sweep Oakland. They don't. They're having a hard time with series finales. Last year they had a hard time with series openers. So people try to put meaning and definition to those sort of things, and more than anything else, it's just kind of fluky.
It is. It depends on your starting pitcher, their starting pitcher, what state your team is in at that moment, right? Like, there's no, like, well, they just stopped playing because they won the series. That's not happening. Or they just weren't ready for game one. That's not what it is. It's almost always a lot more complicated than that. And usually it doesn't have a good explanation, which frustrates people.
Yeah.
And that's the truth about most team sports. Sometimes the explanation is simply, this is what happened.
Right.
Especially this early, right? I get into a lot of back and forth with friends, with people on Twitter, as you well know. about drawing conclusions about things. You can't this early into a season. Like, using it as an example, you cannot today draw a conclusion about Paul Goldschmidt other than he's been bad to start the year. That's all you can say. You can't say it's the beginning of the end, or he's done, or he's going to be fine. You can't say any of those things. It's not enough of a sample size to learn anything, except that through these first, what is it now, 18, 19, 20 games, that he's not been good. That's an absolute fact. It's provable. The batted ball data backs up the batting average and the slugging percentage, all that. Like,
right. He's not hitting into bad luck.
He's not hitting into bad luck. Right, right. But all it takes at this time of year is five or six good games like we've seen with Nolan Arenado, and all of a sudden your numbers start to look like they're supposed to. It's just not enough games yet to decide anything. But that doesn't mean you can't observe what's happening.
Yeah, and you look at things. What's frustrating is people make these loud statements about what's happening. And sometimes they're right and sometimes they're wrong. And if they're wrong, we never hear from them again.
Right.
But if they're right, it's the I told you so brigade that comes out. And to your point, there's just maybe it's something, maybe it's not. And of all the months of hosting postgame shows, I dislike most the first month of the season.
April's tough, yeah.
Because my job is to have like these strong opinions about things.
Yeah.
And I can't because I don't know what's real and what's not.
Yes, and it takes a lot more than, you know, whatever number of plate appearances we have now or innings pitched now to make that determination. So just to give an example that doesn't have anything to do with the Cardinals. Bailey Ober pitches for the Minnesota Twins. He's a pretty good pitcher. He's had a couple of good years in a row. And he gave up like 9 earned runs in an inning and 2/3 in his first start of the year. And if you look at his ERA now, it's like 7 or 8. But he's had 2 or 3 really good outings after that, like 5 or 6 shutout innings and things along those lines. So which is he? Is he the guy that gave up 9 in an inning and 2/3? Is he the 6 ERA guy? Or is he the guy that's had 4 starts, 3 good, 1 bad? And the truth is probably a little bit of all those things. But the reality is that numbers now don't tell us what we really think they do.
Right.
And eventually it starts to tell you more.
I was having that conversation about Brendan Donovan because road trip starts. They play that first game against Arizona. He has 3 hits. He's hitting like 300 afterwards, 298.
Yeah.
Right now he's hitting 235.
Right.
So in 5 games he went from a 300 hitter to 230 hitter. He's this exact same guy.
Yes.
Nothing has really changed in who he is.
No, he's drawing walks and getting on base. I mean, like, and again, there, I don't know exactly when the date is, but I would say that, so like, let's talk about Goldie because that's, I was texting about that with a guy within the last couple of days that I would say another 2 or 3 weeks worry would be more logical, right? Because everybody slumps for 10, 15, 20 games at a stretch, right? Very few people don't. And those are like the elites of the elite, right? A healthy Mike Trout, Ronald Acuna. Like most of those guys don't go through 10, 15, 20 game slumps. A lot of players do, though. Most do.
Yeah.
And you got to have
a lot of guys right now. You look at, there's a lot of really good hitters who have had horrible starts.
Up until a few days ago, Bryce Harper's numbers were ridiculous. And then he has a big game or two, and all of a sudden they start to look more normal, which is what we're talking about. So I would say that there's a sliding scale, like who you are, how old you are, you know, all of those things come into play when you're deciding what to worry about with a player. So let's say with Goldschmidt, if we get to another 3 weeks down the road, we're getting into early May, and it still looks the same. Well, now you're at 5 or 6 weeks, and that's not a slump.
Right.
Now, that's to say that, though, look at Wilson Contreras last year. Terrible in April.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking offensively.
Yeah.
Terrible. And obviously we had the whole, you know, he's not going to be a catcher for a while, that whole nonsense that should never have happened. But then from May until September, he was the same guy that he always had been. And in fact, wound up having a year that was even better than his career norms. So even with a full bad month, it doesn't tell us for sure what a player is going to be, especially a veteran player.
Absolutely. Looking at Contreras' numbers from last year, just to put an illustration on that, he was hitting below 200 on April 15th. His numbers kind of ebbed and flowed from that point forward. But even into mid-May, we're talking about a guy who was down in the two. On May 22nd of last year. No, check this. Hold on. He kept going down and down and down. he was hitting 205 on June 7th.
Yeah.
No, he was hitting 201 on June 198 on June 13th. There's his low. So Wilson Contreras last year hitting 198 on June 13th. And he ended up with a 264 season.
And again, you know, with slug,
yeah,
right? With a normal, like he was what ended up being, what, 20% above league average or something along those lines for the year. And I guess that's kind of the point, right? Like, and that's an extreme case of an extended set of struggles. And it doesn't mean that he didn't struggle. He did. And those struggles hurt the team. Paul Goldschmidt's struggles right now are hurting the team.
Big time.
Yes. All it means is we can't make the bigger decision that somebody's done, or, oh my God, what are they going to do? Do they have to replace him? Or you can't have that conversation now. It's too early. And again, Contreras is a really good example that it was three times deeper into the season than we are right now. And yet he still ended up finishing with a great year offensively, a really strong year. So all we knew then is that, yes, he hurt the team with his early performance, with his first half performance, but he wasn't done, right?
No.
And you know, the concern is greater because Goldie's older, so maybe it's a sliding scale. Like, the longer it goes, the more you do worry about a 36-year-old if there's a problem. But, you know, as frustrating and hard as it is, one of the hardest things about being a sports fan is not living and dying with every game. Is it right? You can't live and die with every game because it is a long season. And I know that's part of the fun, right? Like, we want to celebrate all the fun stuff, but it's you're going to be a miserable fan. And I have a bunch of buddies, man. Oh, my God. Some of my high school buddies are the worst. And they treat a baseball game like a football game.
Right.
A football game counts like 10 baseball games do, right? It literally, a win is like a 10-game winning streak in baseball when it comes to the percentage of the season that it makes up. And we sometimes, I think, get caught up in the football mentality where every game is such a big deal. And in baseball, they all matter because you could miss the playoffs by one game. But when you have 162 of them, you can't draw conclusions based on games, and you shouldn't ride that wave as a fan.
People were freaking out after they lost 2 of 3 to the Diamondbacks because there were some winnable games in that series.
Yeah.
But then they take 2 out of 3 from Oakland. Now, Oakland's a bad team.
They're bad.
But they came in having won 3 straight series and 6 of their last 8. So the Cardinals caught them at a time where they were actually playing decent baseball.
Yeah. Let's be honest, though. We had people freaking out after 2 games against the loaded Dodgers.
Yeah. So,
I mean, come on, man. I mean, you're not doing, and I'm not saying this as a criticism of anybody that's a Cardinals fan. I'm giving advice. Stop riding the ups and downs. It's just going to make you miserable because this game, and this is not a team. This is not the MV3 team that's going to go win 104 games. We know that. We knew that before the season. So judging by that standard, when you know that's not the reality, is only going to make you angry all the time.
I would say this, though. I think we learned last year that this was not a team that was built to dig out of a big hole.
I would agree with that for sure.
They're 3 games back right now. That's not a hole.
No, they could make that up this weekend.
Yeah, that's very easy to make up. So, because the Brewers are the first place team, so if they go sweep the Brewers, which isn't out of the realm of possibility, they're right there.
You erase that lead. And who knows? Somebody else might slide up or down. But
the point is, they're not in a hole.
No.
If they start falling back, if it becomes 5 games back, 6 games back, 7 games back, at that point, I do wonder, because right now they can keep Ivan Herrera out of the lineup some days, even though he's the best hitter, and they can do this thing with Victor Scott and Michael Ciani in center field.
How much longer?
That's the thing. I think how much longer is connected to just making sure that you're not starting to get buried.
Boy, yeah, I mean, for sure that. But, and this is something that I'm sure we've talked about off the air many times, and I do think that you have to be able to, or not be able, because they're able to, be willing to break from what you think is ideal for what you need in the short term. Right? They need offense right now. And by the way, Lars Nootbaar is not a terrible center fielder. He played, what, 60? I think he started 67 games in center last year, was 1 out above average, according to Baseball Savant. So That's fine. Now, it's not elite, right? Victor Scott can be elite out there. Tommy Edman was elite out there when he was playing in center field. But a guy that's a little bit above average in center who can hit and allows you to get other guys in the lineup that can hit is way better than running out a zero, which is what Siani and Victor Scott have been offensively.
And what we're talking about is probably one defensive play every 3 to 4 days that doesn't get made.
I think that's the thing that does get missed in the outfield is in a given game, an outfielder might get 6 plays, they might get 2. You know, like you don't really know. And then you ask yourself, how many of those are a play that the elite guy makes that an average guy doesn't? And again, they exist, and sometimes they come in bunches, and sometimes it comes at the wrong time.
We've probably seen 2 or 3 of them this year from Scott.
Sure, right. And that's but then how much do you weigh that against 4 at-bats a night?
Exactly.
And because you know you're getting those. You don't know how many balls are going to be hit your way, but you know you're getting the 4 at-bats. Now, maybe the 4 at-bats, I mean, could be a nothing from Newt Barr on a given day too, right? There's no guarantee of it, but when you're talking odds, when you're struggling for offense, I can see that. Now, if you had to play Alec Burleson in center field, well, that's clearly that's not okay, right? I'm not talking about that. I am talking about a guy in Newt Barr, though, who showed last year in a decent chunk of games that he's not a hindrance. He's not an elite guy. He's not going to make you that much better, but he's not going to kill you out there. And he played center field for Team Japan in the World Baseball Classic, and they did okay.
Yeah.
And again, this is a minor, I wouldn't say it's even a criticism. It's just more of a, talking ball. How do you get more out of your team while you're waiting to get Goldschmidt going, to get Jordan Walker going, you got to get something out of center field, man. You got to get something. Defense is huge, but it can't come with an offensive zero.
Yesterday, they pinch hit for Siani with Walker. At that point, they could have put Newt Barr in center field, but instead they bring Scott in. So right now, that's the moment, because that's late in the game. That's 2 innings of Newt Barr in center field.
And what was the score?
It would have been a 3-run. It was either 6-3 or 6-3.
Right, so you're behind in the game.
Yeah.
And you're not choosing offense.
Yeah.
Which is, again,
that's the point I'm making. If they are not going,
I know.
That's how far away we are from them even considering this, because yesterday is the chance for them to do that, and they don't.
Let me get my phone out. I'm gonna text Ollie here real quick. No, I'm kidding. And that's stuff that, you know, if we're going to look at kind of a larger criticism of the Cardinals organization that fans have been discussing, and I think we saw a lot of last year, is that when they get on a thing, they stay on the thing.
They stay on the thing.
And they don't really want to adapt. And I get it, you know. Remember last year it was, wow, we got versatility and we're going to move guys around. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, we don't want to do that anymore. So we're never going to do that anymore. And you know what would be easiest is, what do we need to play better baseball at this moment? Let's do that for the time being. And then when we get things leveled off, we go back to what our plan was. The plan got derailed because you lost Edman and Carlson and Newt Barr in advance of opening day. And you had to adapt. Great. That's fine. No problem. You have a little bit more flexibility now. You've got a guy in Herrera who's showing he deserves to be in the lineup regularly because you need offense. I think that would be... nothing's perfect. We play the lineup game all the time. It's literally what baseball fans do every day, right? We're always playing the lineup game. But there's no guarantee that wins you more games. But it does. People like to see that.
Right now it does.
Or at least gives you a better chance, right? There's no such thing as a do this and you win. But you can improve your odds, right? Everybody plays blackjack, understands odds.
You score more runs, you're going to win more games.
Yes. You might give up more in a given day. But in general, yes.
In a given week, maybe not a given day. So that's the thing.
Yes.
So,
yep.
Kevin Wheeler, this was fun. We're going to do this quite often this
season. You know, I come into the office almost every day just to talk ball, so we might as well do it on the radio.
That's Kevin Wheeler. I'm Matt Pauly. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Thanks. Open line on KMOX. Cardinals Brewers three-game series beginning tomorrow. What do you know? The Brewers are in first place. The Cardinals are currently in last place in the NL Central, but only three games back of Milwaukee, and it's a three-game set to help us preview this series. Very happy to welcome in one of my favorite people in the world. He is a former major leaguer, now works on the Brewers broadcast on TV on Bally Sports Wisconsin. He is Vinny Rotino. Vinny, it's always great to talk to you. How are you?
Matt, what a pleasure to connect again. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So the Brewers have had a nice start to the season. They did not win the series against San Diego. How real is this start? 11-6, winning 65% of their games. Is this a legit start for the Brewers?
Yeah, I think it is a legit start. I do think perhaps we're seeing a little bit of an overachieving Brewers ball club so far this season. But it's early, and there's a bunch of young players that are learning how to win, and they're learning their identity early on in this season. And I do think that we're just going to see growth from all those young guys. And I do think at the end of the year, it's going to be a dogfight in the NL Central, but I do think at the end of the year, the Brewers are probably going to have a leg up to finish on top. Now, like I said, it is a very, very competitive division. I think the Cardinals will be right in there as well. But it's going to be competitive. I do think the fact that they're so young and they're learning how to win early, that is going to benefit them in the long run.
It's remarkable. I was doing Brewers postgame three seasons ago, and right now, basically there's two guys on the roster from a position player standpoint that were there when I was there, in Yelich and Adames. Everything else has turned over. How much of a credit to the organization is there that they've been able to go out and replenish some really good teams?
Yeah, so we see the formula, right? We've seen it from, like, the Tampa Bay Rays. We see it from other organizations, and the formula does work. Once guys are about to become free agents, you establish them as legitimate value trade pieces, like a Corbin Burns, and then you have to flip them. The Brewers are not going to be able to re-sign a Corbin Burns, so why hold on to him for another year? Go ahead and get a couple of young budding major league players and see how you can develop those guys. And Joey Ortiz, and then in DL Hall, you guys will see him in the series. Left-handed pitcher is off to a little bit of a rough start so far, but then they also got the 34th overall pick in this year's draft for Corbin Burns. So I do think that formula does work. The other thing they do really well in Milwaukee, they also do this in St. Louis and other places as well, but bringing up guys at the AAA level or maybe a waiver claim that has attributes to be able to get out to the big leagues if they're a pitcher, but then also maybe put the ball in play, something they're looking for, some skill that they really like, they acquire those guys on the cheap. like I said, DFA waiver claims or small pieces in a deal. They do a great job of acquiring those types of guys. Blake Perkins is one of them, and he's having a great start to his season. You'll see him this series in center field. But they just do a great job of identifying what they want in a player and then developing that strength, and then they're able to utilize that on the major league roster.
It's a battle of the Contreras brothers this weekend, and William Contreras has had an amazing start to the season, hitting close to 360. His OPS is above 1,000 right now. Vinny, this guy's putting up MVP numbers through the first few weeks of the season.
He wants to win an MVP, too. Look, he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, too. Remember, he signed out of Venezuela a few years after his brother Wilson signed. Remember, Wilson signed with the Cubs for about $850,000 when he was a prospect, a 16-year-old prospect out of Venezuela, and William signed for $10,000. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He wants to be better than his brother. He's looking like he's better than his brother so far. I mean, he is absolutely tearing the cover off the ball. And what's most impressive for me is the fact that he was not viewed as a defensive type of guy at all. That's why the Braves traded him. They traded him, and then they just, we know you can hit. We don't think you can catch. The Brewers have developed that, and he's taken it upon his shoulders to lead the pitching staff here in Milwaukee. And it's impressive to see the maturation process behind the plate defensively. We all kind of understood, like, there is a lot of talent here in his hands with the bat and his ability to hit. But the defense is the thing that's really kind of eye-popping. And, again, he never wants to take a day off. That's the other thing. Like, someone asked him, you know, when are you planning on getting a day off? And he said, when the team has a day off. So either he's going to be behind the plate or he's going to DH all year long. It's going to be interesting when Pat Murphy can go ahead and hide his jersey on him in order to find him a day.
You mentioned Pat Murphy. Has anything really changed from Craig Counsell to Pat Murphy managing this team?
Matt, it has. It has. You remember going down in those media scrums with Craig Counsell. And Craig, look, Craig is he the best manager in baseball? I mean, there's an argument to be made that he is. But Pat Murphy is bringing a very good vibe to this group. There's a lot of continuity with Pat Murphy and Craig Counsell. But one of the things that he does do differently is he just creates such a loose environment for these guys. When they lose, and they lose kind of in an ugly way, you'll see Pat Murphy talk to the media with a smile on his face, talking about, like, how this is such a great learning experience for some of these young guys and whatever player he's talking about in particular. And it's cool to see because, look, players feel that. They feel that Pat Murphy's got their back. Everyone is playing for each other. They're playing as a team. And not that they didn't do that with Counts. Not at all. I'm just saying Pat brings this to another level. He brings that to another tier. Now, I do think Counts, X's and O's wise, is probably, again, the best in baseball. Just how to run a bullpen, really strategic, really cerebral, really smart. Pat maybe just a tick behind in that compared to Counts, but he's excelling in other areas that maybe Counts wasn't able to.
He is former major leaguer Vinny Rotino, now part of the TV broadcast team for the Milwaukee Brewers and Bally Sports Wisconsin. Vinny, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for taking some time.
Anytime, Matt. Talk to you soon.
Awesome. Very good. That's Vinny Rotino. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit from Blues general manager Doug Armstrong. He addressed the media earlier today as the season came to an end. What's going to happen with the head coaching position? We'll hear from him in just a moment as we continue with a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
The Blues season coming to an end, and now this is a big offseason because they got to figure out who's going to be the coach moving forward. Maybe it's going to be the interim coach, Drew Bannister. He might get that interim tag taken off, or maybe it's going to be somebody else. The Blues general manager, president of hockey operations, Doug Armstrong, spent some time talking with the media earlier today. Wanted to play back some of what he had to say, and we'll start with just the general update on the coaching search.
So I talked to Drew actually a while ago, recently in the last week or so, told him that he's going to be a candidate for the head coaching job. I feel that for the process, it's necessary to interview a few people. But what I told him was when we made the coaching change, I was creating a list, and the list was deep and extensive. And as I watched him perform and I watched our team perform, I started to cross names off that list. And now Drew is one of a very small number of people I want to talk to about moving forward. I thought he did a very good job. I thought he was able to put a balance of pushing and prodding to get the best team on the ice every night, with also throwing a little bit of hope out there and a blind eye to putting young players in situations they haven't been in and living with the results. And I think that's how you grow. You know, we had some young players do some really good things, and we had some young players make young mistakes that cost us, but that's part of growth. And that's what I thought Drew did a great job of doing. And so to answer that question, Drew was a finalist for the head coaching position, and that list isn't extensive.
Yeah, so he said the list is not extensive. So they've already gone down to just a handful of people that they do want to talk about, or talk to, I should say. Armstrong said that kind of from a philosophy standpoint, philosophical standpoint, they have an idea of where they want to go with this hire.
I think we have a good pulse. I'm fortunate to have an inner circle of people in our organization that I trust that have a lot of experience. That we've been talking about this for a number of months on where we want to go to. And as that was going, as I said, Drew is expanding his own resume. It's not something I think is going to happen over the next 4 or 5 days. You want to, I'm not going to give specific names, but some of the names that I want to talk to aren't available and their teams are playing, and some of the names that I want to talk to, I'm going to give a little bit of time to. So it's not something, we certainly will have a head coach in well before the draft. I'm thinking well before June 1st, but I'm not putting a timeline on it in that, because it's not an extensive group. I think when you look at maybe some of the coaches, the people in this situation, they're just starting the process and they might have 15 names and might want to talk to 8 or 9. I've whittled that down to, as I said, a very, very small number.
So it's April 18th right now. He says well before June 1st. So it could still be a month or so potentially before they name that next head coach. He was asked about the characteristics that he's looking for in whoever that next coach is.
I think it's someone that we can that understands where we're at in our maturation process, that wants to push and build and create a foundation that can stand the test of time, wants to have the respect of the veteran players, but the ability for the younger players to express themselves and grab a bigger role. And that's a difficult task. I think when you can go to a certain coach and you know what their mindset is, I have the team that I think can win the Stanley Cup, and here's the guy that can get us over the next 3 or 4%. I believe in our team, but we're not at that level quite yet. So that removes a coach that would fill that criteria. So this coach we want to come in has an understanding of pushing and prodding and expectations of a fan base that should have expectations, but also knowing that we are in the process of doing something that's sustainable and allowing learning and growth to happen.
Before the season got started, Armstrong essentially said that maybe the ceiling for this team this year would be third place in the division, getting into the playoffs. Clearly, that did not happen. They're not a playoff team. So in light of those comments that he made, how would he evaluate the way the season went down?
I think when I look back on those comments, it was more where we fit on, where other teams are in their growth process. I thought that I think I might have said Dallas and Colorado seem to be a half a letter grade or full letter grade ahead of us. I got to be honest with you. At that time, I thought Winnipeg was going to trade Scheifele and Hellebuyck, and they went a different direction, and that obviously changed the outlook of what they were looking to accomplish this season and moving forward. But when I look at our team, you know, I was probably a little too honest on where I thought we were going to be. I was trying to give everyone a look into how I viewed things, and it was brought up on a few different occasions that I didn't believe in this team or I didn't trust this team, and that wasn't what I was trying to say or get at. But I thought the guys played well. I thought you know, we're right dead smack in the middle of the league. If we're in the other conference, we're still playing, but we're not. We're in the West. I had a meeting with our pro scouts today, just projecting what it's going to take next year. You know, I think the reason there's a less point total in the Eastern Conference is because you look at the teams that have been rebuilding or retooling, they're 6, 7, 8 years into it, and they all had about the same amount of points we did, maybe 4 or 5 less, maybe some 10 less, but there seems to be, the Western Conference has teams earlier in the rebuild process, which means there's more points needed to get there because they're distributing more points through the Western Conference that they play more often. But with our team, I thought that, as I said, I thought we saw some really good things. I was extremely proud of the way the guys played against the top teams. And we have to grow and learn why we can play at a certain level against a certain group of player and organization and team, and what we have to do to prepare and to execute better against a team that maybe we don't have that fear factor in. And I'm hoping those are learning things that we're going to pick up.
That is Blues President of Hockey Operations, General Manager Doug Armstrong. Interesting comments from him for sure. And as the offseason goes on, we may revisit this news conference a bit and some of the other things that he had to say specifically about the path that they're on right now and what needs to happen for this team to be a playoff team, not just in the future, but for them to be a playoff team come next season. We'll take one more break. We'll come back and we're going to preview tonight's St. Louis City Soccer Report. That's in just a moment as we continue on with the Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a minute or so left in the program. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. As I get done, you're not going to want to be tuning out because we've got the St. Louis City Soccer Report. Nate Gatter, Jen Cease in the house. They are joining us right now. They're pointing at each other to see which one is going to talk to me. Hi, you two.
Yeah, how are you?
Good. I'm not sure if you're Kyle, may need to.
He's
on the phone with Taylor Twellman right
he
now?
Might yeah. be. Taylor's supposed to be on at 8:30, so I'm like texting his agent going, 8:30! Yeah.
There's a lot going on, so we'll give that away. Taylor should be on the show today.
If he's not mad, Taylor will be on at 8:30.
Yeah.
And Dale Shilley, as always, Nate's back, George Gansner do Laws of the Game. In the second hour, we'll talk a little bit to Joey Zanaboni.
Okay.
He went, you know, he's done a lot of viral calls, one for Klaus recently, and hear from Rasmus Alm and my personal favorite, no offense to everybody else, Michelle Akers. I got to interview her, so we'll have a portion of that. The GOAT when it comes to women's soccer. Is
probably
Michelle
probably
Akers.
The biggest name ever. Guest show we've ever had.
Yes.
Between Taylor Twellman and Michelle Akers.
Oh.
Otherwise, it's sort of a standard show, and then we have two big-name guests, which I don't think we've ever had two big-name guests in the same show.
Wow. And she's cool, too. That's the awesome.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
So excited.
That's all going to be coming up tomorrow. We have Cardinals baseball. We may do a little sports open line before we jump into coverage at 6:20. But don't go anywhere. Jen and Nate have you for the St. Louis City Soccer Report. Big-time edition, as you just heard, with all the guests that are going to be coming up on the program this evening. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Stay safe out there. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on KMOX.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.